Recently in the United States of America, a judge ruled that an 11-year-old boy had the right to seek a divorce from his parents. Did you ever hear the like of it? You thought that there's only divorce between a husband and a wife, sad to say, and there's lots of that around, plenty of that around today. It's sad to see the marriages that are breaking up. But here it is, in Orlando, Florida, a judge gave permission for an 11-year-old boy to seek a divorce from his father and his mother. As we often say, what's the world coming to? Now, thankfully, there aren't many children that we hear of divorcing their parents, but we can say this. Sad to say, there are many children who are disobedient to their parents. And the Apostle Paul, he gives this sign in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And he says that in the last days, as it draws near to the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth, Paul says that more and more you're going to see children who are disobedient to their parents. Paul says there's going to be anarchy in the home. There's going to be rebellion in the home. The very building block of society. The devil is going to launch his attacks against the home. This phrase, disobedient to parents, is only mentioned two times in the New Testament. It's mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we've already read it, but it's also mentioned in Romans chapter 1. Paul, in that chapter, he gives us a list of heinous sins, terrible sins that fallen man engages in. There's a list of sins that would make the hair stand on the back of your neck. He speaks about fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. And right in the middle of the list, guess what? Disobedient to parents. You see, some people perhaps would say, oh, well, it's not that big a deal, you know, to disobey your parents. Sure. It's nothing to make a fuss about. There's nothing that important about it. Well, actually, the Holy Spirit says it's a very serious matter. You see, I sometimes think of children who don't follow their parents' faith. They don't follow in the footsteps of their parents. They don't follow the Lord. Their parents come to the house of God and they worship the Lord, but you know, find the children there, the sons and the daughters, and perhaps they say to themselves, oh, well, it's no big issue, and the Lord will just overlook it. It's just a minor sin. Well, that's not what the Scriptures teach. The Scriptures teach that it's a very serious thing. It's a very serious thing to rebel against a Christian upbringing. It's a very serious thing to rebel against the light and the teaching that parents give to their children, Christian parents. I want you to understand from the very outset of the message today that this disobedience to parents is something that comes naturally to children. It comes naturally to children. You don't have to teach a child to disobey its parents. You don't have to teach a child to rebel against the father and the mother. It comes naturally. You see, we read in Proverbs chapter 22, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It's in the heart. That's the source of it. That's the root of the problem. It's in the heart. As the old preacher put it, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Isn't that the problem in really every issue? Every spiritual issue, it's a problem of the heart, whether it's a person who is lost and without Christ, they've never been born again. It's the problem of the heart. The heart, as the Bible says, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You know, some people have the idea, even some preachers, some ministers today, oh, people are not Christians, they're just a wee bit sick. All I'll say is they're very sick. They're deceitful and desperately wicked. Dead. Dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins. But for perhaps someone who professes to be saved, a Christian, and they're not prepared to go through with God. They're not prepared to give 100% to the Lord, to be consecrated to Him. They're holding back areas of their lives. It's a problem of the heart, isn't it? You see, whenever you realize what Christ went through at Calvary, it'll deal with your heart. And because He loved you with an everlasting love and He shed His blood, then your heart will go out in response to that and return to Him. And as we often quote that verse from the book of Galatians, 1 John, we love Him because He first loved us. And the book of Galatians tells us about the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Is it any wonder that the greatest commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart? Well, the problem is the heart. And whenever children are disobedient to their parents, and the disobedience that we see all around us today that's rife in our society today, it's the problem of the heart. The heart needs to be changed. And oh, we need to pray that children's hearts would be changed. Not just that the child would be taught the things of God. Not just that the child would get a head knowledge of the Bible and the way of salvation. But oh, that it would sink down into the heart. That the child would be converted, born again, regenerated. That the Lord would give them a new heart. Of course, we sympathize with children today and young people. It's very easy to criticize young people, isn't it? To sort of put them down, tut, tut, tut. No, we need to pray for them. There has never been a more difficult day to live as a Christian than today. There has never been more temptation than you find today. So we need to pray for our children. And we sympathize with parents too. It's not easy to be a parent. It's not easy raising children, especially, as I've already said, in this day and generation, whenever it seems to be that the enemy has come in like a flood. Well, should we turn round and criticize and snipe at other parents? No. We should pray for them. Pray for one another. Those of you who are parents, you know how difficult it is. And you know as well as I know that we're not perfect. You'll never find a perfect parent. And we make mistakes. And there's times that we wish we could turn the clock back, and there's times we wish we could undo the damage that we've done by the things we've said or the things we've done or the things we've failed to do. We need to pray for one another. Every one of us, as parents, we experience what it is to have a child turn round and be disobedient. We're not so naive and, you know, gullible is to think that, oh, are we ones? Oh, are we Johnny or Sally? Oh, they're perfect. Every morning they get up, they polish their halo. It's not like that, is it? But then again, whenever we were children, were we perfect? So first of all, the source of this disobedience? It's the heart, the problem of the heart. Think secondly today about the seriousness of this disobedience, the seriousness of this sign that Paul tells us will be in the last days. It's a very serious matter. We've already touched on that. But you're maybe wondering, why did you read Deuteronomy 21? Well, simply because in that portion, it tells us that the punishment for a disobedient, rebellious child, listen to this, it was the death penalty. Capital punishment. You tell me it's not a serious sin? Disobedience to parents? It's very serious. The Almighty God of heaven, he said, the punishment is to be death. That rebellious son or daughter, that drunkard of a son or daughter, that glutton, that person, what it literally means was a person who cursed their parents. A person who even struck their parents, used violence against their parents. The great Jehovah said, take them out and stone them. And it wasn't just the parents, by the way, that stoned them. It was all the people, the whole city. It's a serious matter. The Lord frowned upon it. You see, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, we're told there, listen to these words, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, I tell you, witchcraft is a serious sin. It's a very foolish sin to get involved in, the occult. But the Lord says it's in the same category as witchcraft, rebellion, stubbornness, disobedience to parents. It's in the same group of sins. Puts a different light on, you know, children who rebel against their parents and their parents' ways, the ways that they've been brought up with. You know, children, sons and daughters, and they grow up and leave home, they think, oh, I'll pick the traces. Now I'm free. The Lord says, you're foolish. You're very foolish. And you're committing a sin that's just as bad as demonism, witchcraft, the occult. It is a most serious matter. You know, here's one of the reasons, maybe one of the most important reasons why it is so serious. You see, if there's disobedience in the home, there'll be disobedience in the school. And then there'll be disobedience in the church. And then there'll be disobedience to the police, the authorities, the powers that be. And then, worst of all, there'll be disobedience to God. You see, whenever a person disregards the laws of the home, then, naturally, inevitably, they will disregard the laws of the land. And finally, they will disregard the laws of the Almighty. That's why it's so serious. That's why it should sadden us today as we see 2 Timothy 3 being fulfilled before our very eyes, the disobedience of children to parents. Oh, the source of this sign, the seriousness of this sign. But let's think about the solution to this problem, the solution. Let me say, first of all, that children need role models. If you're a parent, pray that God will help you to be a good role model. That's what I need to pray to. Lord, help me to be a good example to my children. Help me to lead them, to show them the way, not to tell them to do this or that. Help me, Lord, to do it myself first, and then they'll copy me and follow me. Children need to see daddy, mommy going first, leading the way. If I can put it like this, they need a sermon and shoes. And they need Christianity in shoe leather day in, day out. It's one thing, you know, to teach your children, and yes, I hope you do teach your children, by the way. We've read from Deuteronomy 18 or 21 today. We could have read from Deuteronomy chapter 6. It tells there the duty, the responsibility of parents to teach their children. When thou sittest down, when thou risest up, when thou walkest by the way. Every hour, every day, you're to be teaching, you're to be speaking to your children about spiritual things, bringing it into conversation, not forcing it in naturally, bringing it in naturally, so that it becomes almost like just a normal, nearly normal, that it does become a normal part of everyday conversation. You're sitting at the meal table. You speak about Christ. You bring it in. But we need to go the next step. Live it out. Live it out before the children. Children need role models. The role model shouldn't have to be the Sunday school teacher or the school teacher. No, it should be daddy and mummy. But here's a second thought today. Children not only need role models, but children need the rod. We have to touch on that. We've read today in Proverbs chapter 13. Listen to it. Well, we didn't actually read it, but here I'll read it to you now. Proverbs 13. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. You've heard the phrase, spare the rod, spoil the child. Well, it's true. Some people think that's a quote from the Bible. It's not actually a quote, but it's like a paraphrase of Proverbs 13. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The word betimes means early or soon. Father, whenever you see the child, the son or the daughter stepping out of line, they need to be disciplined. They need to be disciplined betimes. Early, soon. And you know that word betimes, it has another meaning. Early in life, while they're young. The problem and the mistake that many people in the world have made is that they wait until it's too late before they discipline the child. And the child gets up into teenage years and it's never been disciplined. It's never felt the rod or the back of the hand. It's too late. Need to start when the child's young. Discipline the rod. I'll read some more verses about the rod so that you know it's not my idea. It's the Lord's. Proverbs 23, we've already read it. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul, wait for it, from hell. That should be the desire of every parent. That my son or my daughter would be delivered from hell. Isn't that what life's all about? Isn't that why you come to prayer meetings? Isn't that why you come to the house of God? Isn't that why you seek to be a witness in front of your sons and daughters? You want them delivered from hell. Hell's a real place, by the way. And we'll say more about that tonight. With the help of God, we're going to speak tonight about both heaven and hell. Because the Bible speaks about both. The Bible is a balanced book. It has a perfect balance. There are some preachers, without getting into the whole subject and preaching tonight's sermon, but there are some preachers, and all they preach about is hell. Then you get some preachers, and all they preach about is heaven. We need to be in the middle. We need to get the balance right. That's what we seek. That's what we'll seek to do tonight with the help of the Lord. But the rod, Proverbs 29, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So much we could say about the importance of corporal punishment, the fact that children need limits, they need boundaries. And you hear this nonsense today about banning smacking and spanking. What rubbish. Garbage. By the way, the Lord who has created the child, the Lord who has created the children, he has provided the perfect area to smack them. Do you know where it is? Of course you do. It's a padded area. You call it the posterior, the bottom. That's where the rod should be administered. We don't believe in abusing children. That's a terrible thing. That's why we don't say hit the child around the head or some other area, a dangerous area where you could harm the child physically. No, no. But God has provided the perfect place. What about the Savior? Oh, as we think about disobedience to parents, there's one person who was never disobedient to his parents. In Luke chapter 2, it tells us, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. He was the perfect child. My, you parents, you say, I wish that my children were like him. Instead, you're pulling your hair out and you're about to run for the River Foyle and jump in. It gets that hard some days. Well, I know it's not easy. Of course it's not. But as I've said already, I said earlier, we need to pray for each other and be sympathetic and understanding toward each other. But my, here was Mary and Joseph. Now remember, Joseph wasn't the physical parent of Christ. He was the guardian. But as far as protecting the boy Jesus, Joseph was the father, you could say. And the Lord Jesus was subject unto them. We think of whenever he was on the cross. Do you remember whenever he was crucified on Calvary's cross? What does it tell us? He looked down and who did he see? His mother. And he cared for her. He had respect for his parent. He didn't break the fifth commandment. The Lord Jesus knew the importance of not only obeying your parents, but caring for your parents. And he looked down and he saw her there, and then he looked at John. And you know what he said? Behold thy mother. Behold thy mother. What did he mean? John, treat her as your mother now. Look after her just as if she was your mother. What an example the Savior is. And it's so sad today whenever, in comparison to our perfect Savior, you see so many sons and daughters today and they don't obey their parents and they don't care. They couldn't care less about their parents. Ah, but you have a heavenly parent. You see, perhaps there's someone in the service this morning and you're not a Christian. I want to tell you today that you have a heavenly parent. Now, you're not born again. God is not your father in a saving sense, but in a creative sense, he's your father because he has created you. In that sense, he is the father of all mankind. Now, that doesn't mean that all mankind will be in heaven and they're all saved, not at all. But it means that God the Father has created every person who walks upon this earth. Tell me this. Are you disobeying your Father? He says to you, believe on my Son. Follow my Son. Hear him. Live for him. But you say, don't think I'll bother. Church is enough for me. Religion's enough for me. You're guilty of this sign that Paul spoke about. Disobedience to parents. And you know, to be disobedient to our heavenly parent is far, far more serious than to be disobedient to any earthly parent. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 6, listen to what he said. Take this to heart. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we pray that grace would be given to any in the meeting today who have not yet bowed the knee and accepted Christ. Lord, they're still in a rebellious state. They're still rebelling against their Maker, their Father, we could say, the one who has given them life and breath. Oh Lord, we pray that they'll lay down the puny arms of rebellion today, and oh, that they would come to know the Son of God, whom to know is life eternal. We pray for parents today, Lord, in this church, but in society in general. We pray, Lord, that you'll help them to raise their children, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we do pray for children and young people in these wicked, evil days. Never, Lord, was there a more wicked day. Never was there a more evil day than today. Oh, remember the children and young people. Pray that you'll give them grace and strength to be able to live for Christ and to be able to fight the good fight of faith. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.